Hello, my name is Hayden Thompson and welcome to the Pack Heavy Podcast. Now, this show is really for anyone in the hospitality and food manufacturing industries that uses flexible packaging to get their products to market. Here, I'll be talking about everything food packaging and providing you with the information and knowledge that you need to get the right food package into your hands and into the hands of your consumer. I'm really excited to be interviewing guests just like you who have traveled the path that you're on so that you can learn from their successes and failures and engage in the mindset required to go all in on your vision. Now, I personally call this mindset the pack heavy mentality, and it is driven by deliberate actions such as making the decision to go all in on your vision for your business. So I'm talking about gathering market intelligence, putting a strong plan in place, organizing the appropriate resources, and then executing on your strategy with precision. So if you're packing heavy on your vision, you're definitely in the right place, and I'm really excited to have you here. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to episode number 6 of the Pack Heavy Podcast. Now, on today's episode, I was lucky enough to interview Brandy Garten of Aversio Wellness. Now, Aversio is a startup company founded in February this year, just prior to COVID hitting the world. And they're actually launching into the marketplace this January 1st with a range of quality mushroom supplements that are extremely high in quality and potency. So Brandy and I discuss the importance of being crystal clear on your mission, vision, and values, and how really when you filter every decision, obstacle, or potential opportunity through it, it has the ability to make things incredibly simple for you and your business. So we also touch on medicinal and psychedelic mushrooms throughout the conversation. And honestly, if there's anybody out there that knows me well, they'll know that it's a topic of conversation that comes up quite a bit. It was an absolute pleasure chatting with Brandy. She's a wealth of knowledge, and I really hope that you learn and take as much away from the conversation as I did. So enjoy. Hey, Brandy, thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. So happy to be able to connect.
I know. It's good. Have you ever been on a podcast before?
I have not.
No.
But I have listened to more than my fair share. So it's about time.
Yeah, great. What podcast do you listen to?
Oh, gosh. You know, it started out with Jay Shetty. And then at the advice of my 14-year-old son, went to Joe Rogan, which of course was a little more colorful. Yeah. And oh, now I couldn't list the many different ones that I always, I trust the universe to send me along the recommendation based on my last interest, and it's never wrong. So
yeah, oh, good.
So yeah, there's a variety out there. This one's unique for me though. It's being connected to what we do in business is going to be fun today.
Yeah, no, totally. It's always good to have a conversation. And you know, the one thing that I would love to talk to you about today is the pack heavy mentality. And, you know, Brandy, obviously Nick and I have done some work with you at Food Pack, and we've seen you, you know, obviously about to embark on a really exciting launch of your product and your brand out into the world, which I'm sure we'll touch on during the conversation today. But one thing that I did notice when I was in there in your office and having a chat with you and your team was that obviously, like the amount of passion that you've got in your business is just infectious. But, you know, the pack heavy mentality that I've sort of identified and that I love to talk about. So it's really obvious that you've done your market research, you've had an idea, you've been able to see it through, and it's about to come to fruition for you, which is really exciting. So I'd just love to sort of start by finding out, where did this idea come from, you know, around Aversio? And do you want to give the listeners a bit of insight as to, you know, the business that you've got and that you've got operating right now, and where it started and where you currently are?
Absolutely. Wow. I mean, great question, and get ready because that's a big answer. And I'll apologize in advance. I like to talk, and it's a bit synchronistic that today I officially resigned from my teaching position yesterday. I
hit the
button on the email.
Yeah.
So you met us right at such an interesting point, because we're kind of doing a lot of things with starting Aversio Wellness. Our mushroom wellness company came about really because of COVID. And at the time I was teaching elementary school. We run a family company that's in project management. So my husband does that full time. And then here's how we got here. So, you know, we are those people that are likely irritating to many, trying to find something positive about this whole COVID pandemic that is our reality. And it really gave us that opportunity to really hit the brakes and slow down and reflect on where we have come from personally in our lives, as well as in our careers. And that just really started a powerful conversation about where we wanted to go from here. Mm-hmm. And that really, you know, is where Aversio Wellness came from. And when we talked about who we were, you know, as an educator, I have this dream of educating creating a company that can do two things, that can maybe provide something and educate people about that something. My husband, being a project manager at heart, he likes to herd wet cats while he's riding a bike that's on fire. You know, he's all about timelines, budgets, yeah, and checklists and this type of thing. So, you know, we really got together and thought, we've got time and we're at this pivotal point in our 40s in our lives where we want something that just has more personal meaning to us.
Yeah.
Not that education wasn't meaningful, but it's really when you're a public school educator, you're within these boundaries. There's a framework, there's a curriculum, and it's fantastic, but it doesn't always allow you to be who you really are. And who we really are is we're parents and we are passionate about wellness ourselves. We have two kids that require a plant-based diet because of a metabolic condition they have called PKU. It requires a really strict low protein diet. So they eat no meat, no dairy, no whole grains. And we've had to get pretty creative with them. And so we're always on the hunt for natural products versus synthetic medicines or chemicals that we know mess with our body. Mm-hmm. And when we watched our kids grow, we learned so much from them and how they have thrived the way that they are. And, you know, they've both spent years as competitive swimmers, tennis players, on an honor roll. Our daughter is really dedicated to dance and always trying to deliver them the energy that they need in order to do what they do and to do it well.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so that's our kids are this inspiration, lots of research around how to make them the best they can be. For myself, I'm all about the wellness of the mind. Being an educator, I'm fascinated by the brain, love to play Scrabble. I love learning anything new and facilitating that learning for others. And COVID brought me the opportunity to homeschool my kids, which has been an amazing journey. Personally, all about holistic nutrition, yoga, meditation, breath work. And then Craig, my husband, is the adrenaline junkie extreme athlete of the family. So Ironman triathlons and long distance cycling and dirt biking, extreme snowmobile riding, the day-to-day biohacking that goes on at our house with infrared saunas and cold tanks and everything.
Cool.
So it really came to where's the common ground for our family, and that comes to wellness. It comes to a connection to nature and to wellness.
Yep.
And it's really my husband's best friend and personal trainer really introduced Craig to mushrooms a while ago as a way to incorporate something for Craig to use personally to up his game without adding anything synthetic, using what nature offers to up the game there. And I mean, it just blew our minds. So a year ago when the research started, we were excited about it, but there wasn't time to do it as a business. When COVID hit, all that came together and went, oh, we're doing something with mushrooms because now, it's too exciting. So Aversio Wellness was born so that we could really, you know, create some type of a way to impact how we think fungi are going to shape the people and the ecosystems that exist on our planet.
Awesome.
And you know, that brought on this great new project for Craig to manage, a thing for me to share education wise about. And it's brought us so much joy in our lives, being able to do work that doesn't feel like work.
Seriously, I know. It sounds like everything's come together at the right time. And it's amazing how the universe does deliver like that, isn't it?
Okay. Yeah. I have to tell a story on that note.
Okay.
So the way we found you, and I, you know, we'll talk about packaging, but in the very beginning of this whole transition into we're going to start a new company, we were headed to the lake. We love to be in nature, headed up to the mountains, and we're plugging along talking about how are we going to do this? How are we going to start this business? And, you know, one of the best pieces of advice we've ever been given is, you know, don't try to do things you're not good at. You're not an expert at everything, and recognize that. And it turns out we're not experts at many things when you are trying to be a wellness company, because that's not our education and our background.
Yeah.
So we're driving along and realized, hey, if we're gonna have these high potency, high quality, amazing mushroom extract products, they have to go into some packaging at some point. And we can't design a label. We don't know anything about packaging. Where do we even start with that? And, you know, we had plugged around looking for co-packers and people that could help us in packaging, and we weren't really getting very far. And, you know, my husband was at a real place of frustration about it. What are we going to do? Where do we go next? Who do we know that's already doing it? And we're on the highway headed down the road, and I look to my right out the window, and there's a white pickup truck with a huge label on the side that says Food Pack. And I thought, what are the chances? So I get my phone out and I Google away, and there's you guys on the other end doing exactly what we're talking about. Everything on the page spoke to how we had envisioned our packaging being.
Yep.
And I glance up at the dashboard and it was 11/11, and I'm one of those crazy people that believes in the patterns and numbers. I took a screenshot of it. I sent my husband a text with the link to Food Pack and that, and I didn't talk to him about it. When he got it, he said, "What's this?" And I said, "Just call them, because they're probably the ones that are going to help us." Here we are a year later, and the universe sent you to us.
Seriously. No, I'm a huge believer in the universe delivering like that, and being able to manifest your future. And, you know, we were just prior to the podcast starting, we were obviously talking about Dr. Joe Dispenza and the amazing work that he's doing. And I could go deep on him, but which we won't right now, but
a whole other podcast.
I know, but look, that sounds awesome. And yeah, obviously the conversation opened up from there. And you know, when we start to have conversations with businesses like yourself, obviously one of the first things is like, well, what is your vision? Because it's that vision. It's what you can see in your mind's eye that essentially we're trying to tease out and trying to bring into a reality for you. So when I know that Nick sat down with you and started to have the conversation, were you in a position where you knew what you were after, or was there a bit of back and forth to sort of end up where you were, what you ended up delivering on?
I think, you know, Nick landed in our, first of all, the fact that Nick came to our office during a pandemic in his mask and, you know, filled out our health check and sanitized his hands and did all that to be here with us in person was fantastic, because we were at a bit of a, we really knew what we wanted, and it turned out that that didn't exist.
Yeah.
And that was hard for us to swallow, because we, you know, it was a roadblock for us for sure. Yeah. And so our vision is really that we have it on our wall in the office here, that we need our business to be a healing force for the planet and its people.
Yeah.
And that was really important to us. You know, a lot of why we got into doing what we are doing is because of this desire for us to be able to give what we feel we've been given in our lives to more of the people around us. So, I mean, we feel pretty grateful that we're healthy people who have lived a pretty great life, yet we see the people around us maybe not all experiencing the wellness that we've been fortunate enough to have, and really saw that start to decline when COVID hit. Like the declining mental health of so many of our close friends and family became very troublesome to us. So when we decided we're going to do this, we really asked ourselves, what does the world need? And, you know, the world really for us needs to wake up, and, you know, we need to heal humanity if we want humanity to start to be able to work together to get out of the messes we're in the pandemic, in climate change, in the mental health crisis, all of these things. So, you know, to try to put one thing on your company vision, and our one thing was it has to be a healing force for the planet and the people of the planet. Well, that's a lot of companies are not. Right, when we think of like Coca-Cola, for instance, no offense Coca-Cola, but that's a product that there's a company is doing really well, and I'm sure they're very, you know, happy with the paychecks they get, but can they say that the product that they're putting out is something that's actually good for the world? Is it good for the people? Is it good for the planet? Is it humanity plus? And I don't think they can answer that yes, and we don't want to go to bed at night not being able to say, yes, this company is humanity plus. So we knew we're going to put something amazing out to the world, and it has to go in a package. And we can't say to ourselves that we are grateful that Mother Nature provides mushrooms to this planet. We need them as people. They're an amazing source of food. We feel they can protect the mind, they can protect the body. And as they grow in nature, we really believe they're going to change the state of the ecosystem issue on our planet. The climate change issue can also be affected. So we really are those crazy mushroom people that think mushrooms are amazing. How can we live with ourselves if we then take those mushrooms and put them into packaging that is not good for the planet? So it really bothered us when we did our market research. Like you said, there are hundreds of companies out there doing essentially what we're doing. So the way to differentiate would be for us to deliver these mushrooms a different way. And that was Nick. That was Nick coming to us. And you were there that day too, when we said, we know we want to put it in glass because we don't want to use plastic. Well, we did the research on the glass, and it turns out that glass is great, infinitely recyclable, infinitely reusable. But if we have to keep making more of it, the more of it we have, the more of an impact it's going to have on the planet. And it is not made from a it is a non-renewable resource. We don't want to have people getting 12 glass jars from us over the course of the year that in our community cannot be recycled in a curbside bin. And we just don't need more of it. So we like the look of the glass, we like the function of the glass, but flexible packaging has to be where we go because of the whole life cycle of the packaging. And, you know, that we have hatched this beautiful plan to have a refill system. And I, you know, we're really grateful to Nick for being on that journey with us, because he kind of looked at us like we were crazy. And then he's like, I get it. I see what you're doing, and that what you're talking about doesn't exist, but we're going to make it. And bless his heart, we have made that beautiful product.
We
have this sustainable system that is really, you know, is thanks to Foodpak.
Yeah, cool. It's amazing. So I think, you know, a learning, something that our listeners can learn from this is that it sounds to me as if you really had your mission, vision, and values set right at the very, very start, and you filter every decision you make through that system. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It makes it so simple.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah.
Because we sit around, we have a room here in our office we call the Collaboratorium. And when you get in there, there's no bad ideas. And one of the fellows on our team says that a lot. There's no bad ideas. And then he says his idea. And, you know, when you get in a room with people, and we all come from such different perspectives, it's hard to decide where to go sometimes when we don't all agree. And we never all agree. But when you have one clear vision or a value that we've already agreed on ahead of time to be on this team, this is where we are, the business has to be a healing force for the planet. It has to be a healing force for its people. You know, what we value, it makes those decisions easy. Does it fit within that? It's a yes or a no. And then we invite people in from the outside, and sales can be a tough one for that, because when your business has to thrive and make money, sometimes packaging is one of those places where, you know, in an ideal world, we could spend tons of money and have this amazing packaging that, you know, plants wildflowers into your garden when you grow it. But can we afford to do that as a startup in a pandemic?
Not at all.
Not yet.
Yeah, not yet. Exactly. Yeah, no, maintaining your margins and obviously being able to grow your business should be your first priority so that you can do further good down the road. Yeah, no, that's amazing. And I think a lot of people out there sort of have trouble defining their mission, vision, and values from an early start, and sort of muddy up each one. So how do you define what a mission is and what a vision is and what your values are? So I know what yours are, but how were you defining them so that, you know, they were clearly defined?
Great question. I think it has to be something that your team can all get behind. So, you know, for us, our mission is how we're going to get there. So this is what we want to do. Our vision is what we see the world looking like if we are successful on our mission. So for us, you know, our higher, like the big vision for us is actually beyond these functional mushrooms. And it is for us the hopes of being able to advance these medicinal mushrooms into them being this beautiful little supporting cast for the hero ingredient for us would one day be able to add psilocybin when it's legal in our country, when these ingredients are, you know, approved for people to be able to use for medicinal purposes.
That'll be an exciting day.
It's going to be an exciting day, and we see it not being too far down the road, you know, a few years from now. We're not afraid to think 10 years down the road what this world will look like, because we intend to be doing this 10 years down the road. Yep. So we've applied to Health Canada for a license to be able to do research and development with those products, and we just can't wait to introduce them to the amazing products we already have.
Yeah.
So, you know, when we looked at our big vision with that in mind, our vision is an awakened humanity that knows love and joy and peace.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
Wouldn't that be great? An awakened humanity that knows love, joy, and peace is one that doesn't pollute the planet, that doesn't, you know, have these mental health issues that we think are causing so many of the underlying problems in our world. Mm. That's a big goal. So that big overlying, you have to attract people that are in on that. And and we started building our team. You know, we brought together, we have a therapist on our team who is all in when it comes to that. And, you know, she just happened to move in the office next door to us, and she was all in. And then we brought in someone for marketing. And again, she's someone that, you know, we're in a yoga studio together, and she happens to be this amazingly talented designer with a huge amount of experience in marketing, but the soul story behind her history fit with us. And it took us half an hour across the table to figure out, you're going to be on this team. And as we went through people that came through the door, the ones that organically fit were the ones who felt the same we did about this vision.
Yeah.
And the ones who didn't, we didn't ask them to leave, but it just happened that it didn't work out for them to stay.
Yeah.
So we're a totally privately funded company. The founders of our company are the people who work day to day to build it. It's all our own money that's in, and we are all in on that same vision together.
That's cool.
So for us to know where we want to be in 10 years, set this big vision, you build the team based on that vision, and then your mission is, this is how we're going to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect. That's a great explanation. I think a lot of people will see a lot of value in that explanation. So thank you very much.
I hope so. There's the teacher moment.
I know. It's just come so naturally. Now tell me, so throughout this process, obviously it's just going on sort of 12 months from the seed of the idea where you're sitting in your, you know, family wagon and you looked out and you saw the truck and here we are, and you're about to launch on the 1st of January, which is a, you know, perfect date for a launch.
Happy New Year.
Yeah. Throughout the period, I know that you've been obviously working towards this moment, but what are the, what are sort of some of hurdles that you've had to overcome? Obviously, you know, getting around some packaging hurdles, we got there together, but what other hurdles have you got around? And sort of what were the tools that you used to sort of record your process? Were you recording your processes that you were sort of working through along the way? And sort of, let me rephrase it. So when I was at university and I was studying entrepreneurship and innovation, we were using a canvas or a startup canvas, which was developed by Steve Blank, who I guess essentially built our textbooks.
Wow.
But it was a really good canvas to use because you could map out your business in sort of one sheet and you could see all of the inputs and the direction that, you know, energy was flowing through the business and so on. What tools were you using and how have you sort of collected up your business model and how have you used it to sort of help you get around hurdles throughout the process?
Good, great question too. Luckily, because we already were operating our family business, so in project management and construction, we already had a lot of those, you know, that scaffolding, I would say.
Systems.
There's a construction work in place. So we had some of the physical infrastructure in place required. And then the systems that we used within our office really fit nicely. So without plugging anyone, we use Microsoft Teams within our office. And having a platform like that already be established in place when a pandemic hit, I think we can't underplay how nice that's been for us. So to be able to have a place where we have checklists, we're about the checklists, did we go through that process on that one? To have team members be accountable for what needs to be done when we have within teams, there are channels. We have channels dedicated to certain things. People checking in and sharing through a platform that can be shared from a distance across the world if we need to. Well, we're up at the lake and some people are here in the office and we're back and forth. That's been invaluable for us. Having said that, We also designed a space here physically where, and I mean, the day that you came to meet with us, we are social people. We love connection, and having a place where a team like ours could come together and be face to face with the technology available and work that way to make big decisions efficiently was fantastic for us.
Yeah.
So we knew where we were starting. Being project managers, we use, I mean, my husband's all about a Gantt chart. So we used kind of the project management framework that we use for other companies in constructing a facility to construct a project around this business. And it's really worked well for us that way. And then being able to bring in a team that works within that system was simple when it was something digital they could relate to in their own time, in their own space. Mm. We can't all be together to read this information, but we know we all have to have it. It's on Teams. Send a quick link. Everybody reads it. And by the next week, we're all on the same page.
Yeah, it's perfect.
That's for, you know, that's something new. Again, I just yesterday resigned from the school district, but it's something that I even have used in my classroom with students. And I think that it is a huge advantage that the kids coming out into the world are going to have those skills far ahead of where I had it in my career. So, you know, I think that's us. We are just people who know that staying connected in real time is invaluable.
Yeah, especially internally. But like looking out into the world, so one thing that I find really important is obviously getting out and having conversations with your customers, because that's where your greatest learnings come from. And that's where new ideas come from, because you see, you know, there may be a bit of a demand here, or there may be a problem that we can resolve. So throughout the period, like, you're obviously not at a point where you've launched and you've got people purchasing your products, but how have you got out? How have you found your potential early adopters? How have you started conversations with them and conducted that research so that you could develop a product around a need or a desire?
Absolutely. Well, it was nice for us that the products that we are about to launch are products we've been using a long time ourselves. Yeah, so, cool. You know, it was really, we started looking for the best because we wanted it for our own health and wellness. And now we just love it so much, we want to share it with the world. Mm. That made that part easy. So we really looked at, you know, our consumers are going to be us, and then who else? So the who else is where we had to go looking.
Yeah.
So one of the members of our team is a natural health practitioner. And of course, in her practice, she subscribes to various companies that have supplements in their line. And mushroom extracts is something she didn't have access to. Something that, you know, mushrooms are kind of the new crazy thing out there. Lots of companies doing it, not a lot of companies doing it the way that we want to do it. So, you know, the mushroom extracts we were already using were fantastic. We're just making them better. Yeah. She saw this value. So she has of course, a huge client base that wanted something that was a great place for us to start. What do they want to see done differently when they already can see what's out there in the market? And that really came down to where we were going to source our raw materials and what those customers had read about. So again, a whole other podcast, but mushrooms that are grown here in North America, whether it's Canada or the United States, are grown on grain. They're grown as a mycelium on substrate grain, the mushroom fruits on this grain. You get the fruiting body of the mushroom, which is where all of your beneficial compounds are. Mm. And this is where the potency comes from. So when we're talking to a natural health practitioner, we have a pharmacist on our team, we've got a therapist on our team interested in mental health. They're all about, like, they want to know what percentage of bioactive compounds are going into my body.
Yeah.
And when we started looking at the quality of some of the really well-known products out there, it really surprised us what was in there. Mm-hmm. And when you look at today's consumer, the product has to be organic. It has to be non-GMO. Lots of people want vegan. Lots of people want it to be gluten-free. And we were really having trouble finding something that had all of those things and was potent, meaning that Health Canada says you should not go over this much, but let's take that much if we want it to work. Mm. And we were just finding really low potency product, which might be fine for nutrition. And there's a market for that, but our market is medicinal.
Medicine, yeah.
Medicine. And if it's going to be medicine, it needs to be potent. So that was really you know, our first project that my husband went crazy for was sourcing these products. And I mean, we feel really confident that we've got the best the planet has to offer. Then, you know, we went to transparency. So customers that we spoke to through these clinics, through people that were already using them, weren't really sure what they were taking. You know, they weren't sure how to read that label on the back. Companies weren't being transparent about percentages of bioactive compounds, or was there rice in this product, or was there, what is there not? Because I really don't want to be eating any grain, and I wasn't expecting it to be in my mushrooms. And, you know, we thought we can do that. We can be transparent. That's just being honest, and that's who we are. And then it came to the packaging. So, you know, there's lots of people in our life right now who are passionate about the planet, passionate about what are we going to do about that legacy layer of carbon floating above us that's going to cause some havoc for, you know, your children, Hayden,
future generations,
my children, these future generations. And that, you know, what are you going to do about that? And that laid the groundwork for us. We know we need high quality, high potency, organic, non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free products. We've got to be transparent. We've got to put, we've got to test the, excuse my language, you got to test the crap out of these things. We got to test them here locally in Vancouver with a lab that we trust. We got to test them twice sometimes. We have to know what's in there, and we've got to put it in packaging that's sustainable. And we thought, if we can do that, we're doing something different than what's already being done, and customers are looking for it. So yeah, like you said, here we go, launching on January 1st, and we're going to find out.
That's where the rubber hits the road. So what's your plan to go to market? So what are the channels that you're selling into, and how did you come about developing those channels?
All right. So of course, we've got Jawala is our, Jawala was supposed to be here to talk with me today, but she is a meetings girl and she had a meeting go later. So she is our social media website developer. She is all things getting out there to people through digital channels. So she launched our Instagram and Facebook channels on October 15th, I want to say, to really start creating some relationships and making a connection and just having an opportunity to tell our story before we get out there. So that's been a long time. We've been out there that way. And then the website has been kind of advertised as a launch list that way. So we will be selling our products through e-commerce on our website. And that way was going to be really how we thought, let's go out there and test the market. However, the people that we've come across on this journey, they all want them in retail as well. So we have some opportunities locally where some vegan supply shops and some really, you know, people that focus on local business and local product and high quality things. So we will be selling them in a few retailers nearby, and then our natural health practitioner clinics.
Right.
So because we are selling these as, these are medicinal mushrooms meant to be part of a wellness regimen, our natural health practitioner will have them right in clinic as well.
Perfect. So when you were developing your product pricing, obviously you had to take into consideration all of the margins that you needed to achieve to make your business successful and sustainable as well. And obviously selling into different channels, everybody has a different margin that they're looking to achieve as well. So where did you start when you were trying to develop your pricing?
Great question. Oh, money makes me so itchy. That this is my least favorite part of any conversation in the collaboratorium. So thank goodness we have people on the team that that talk about this. Our wonderful accountant Harry, who's in the office behind me. Of course, we're a startup company. We are privately funded. It's our money. Every cent counts. So we really had to look at it as, you know, the budget. We had to look at a whole number budget. When we look at the big picture, we're rolling out, we have to spend this much on, you know, developing the website. We have to spend this much on hiring people to do these certain things within our team. And we want to spend the bulk of the money on the product. When you're dealing with a high quality product like this, it is the expense.
Forefront. Part.
So we knew that the fraction that the packaging had to be, you know, we had a budget to be within, which is where Nick was fantastic in kind of opening our eyes to what our possibilities were there. So, you know, the budget definitely for us comes down to a, the unit price is important because we know exactly how much product we have and therefore how much can we spend on each unit that goes out to get there. And that would have been so easy for us if we were putting this in a plastic white bottle with a plastic cap, like 90% of supplements out there do.
Yeah.
And when we made the decision wholeheartedly as a team not to do that, we really put ourselves in a position to dedicate more of the budget we had first thought about to our packaging. And I think that even after just yesterday's meeting, we feel pretty good about how we were able to do it. You know, there are so many options out there now compared to when many of these successful mushroom wellness companies started. And I think our game plan is not to compete with those brands. It is to, the word aversio means change in Latin. Our hope is to change this industry so that all of these companies will dedicate themselves to transparency, purity, and sustainable packaging. Mm. And there's really no excuse not to anymore with companies like Foodpak out there. And there are others we went to before we had really come to the idea we landed on. You know, when you look at a budget, you can do it. You can do it. If you are willing to be flexible, no pun intended.
No, I use that word flexible all the time when it comes to working with a budget, because there are levers that you can pull to, you know, produce different results in different areas. And it's really interesting that you just sort of mentioned what their competitors are doing. And I think a lot of people focus too much on what the competitors are doing in their space, and they're too worried about the impact that their competitors are going to have on them. But so obviously you've surveyed the landscape, you know who's out there, you know who you're competing against, you know how you're differentiating yourself, and you're sticking to your own lane, which is really cool. Yeah. How did you develop your brand and differentiate your brand in there as well? And sort of when you were doing your work with your designer, what were the different personas that you were looking at, and how did you land where you did?
Well, you know, really it was, it happened in an instant when something came across our desk that was so different from what we had seen elsewhere. And it was a different product, it was a different idea, but the idea of a refill system, the idea of the reuse economy is near and dear to our hearts. So, you know, personally, we buy a lot of things in bulk, we bring them home, we put them into glass jars in our pantry, and we try to reduce packaging where we can. And I think, you know, if we're being honest as a planet, we have to try to do that. And when you're trying to reduce packaging, a refill system works nicely. And thank goodness for the flexible packaging industry being able to come up with 1,000 different ways to create something that can be easily produced, easily shipped to the manufacturer, sent from the manufacturer to the distributor, and then from the distributor to the consumer without a whole lot of environmental cost, if we want to say it that way. And yeah, I think that, you know, when we saw this other product that was a refill system, we thought, well, no one is doing that. No one is doing that with these supplements, with mushroom wellness products. Why wouldn't we do that? And that kind of made everybody happy, because I got my glass jar, which when I take a supplement, and I'm a supplement taker, I eat a plant-based diet, I need to take some supplements along with that. My kids need to take some supplements. I have it on my counter. For me, it's in my bathroom. I need it to look nice. I need it to function well. And I like a glass jar. So I got to have my glass jar. The refill system allows us to have this packaging that, I love this. When Nick showed up with the pouches that we created together in collaboration with you folks, there were thousands of pouches in the box that he was able to carry in his arms and place on our table. And we stopped and realized, if those were plastic, rigid plastic bottles, they would take up our entire office, and Nick would have had to drive 4 truckloads to get them here. It blew our minds. And you know, it was a beautiful thing for us to realize this is going to work, and we hope other people would be inspired to do this, like we were inspired by another company that was doing something similar. So I think we're all about, take something that works and then make it better.
Improve it.
And, you know, and if we could keep doing that as a society, there's hope for us.
That's awesome. So moving forward over the next 12 months, Do you have any plans to incorporate any new SKUs? Obviously, you're launching with your 2, 4, 6 SKUs, which is really exciting. And you were talking about, you know, the future of psilocybin mushrooms and, you know, microdosing and the potential to use that medicinally with your brand as well. But what else do you see on the nearer horizon for you as well? And how are you sort of going about developing those products as well?
Oh, Hayden, don't ask me that. This is how I fall asleep at night, is what else can we do with mushrooms? Because I'm a believer that they are the answer to so many things. So yeah, so we're actually launching with our first 4 SKUs. So 3 capsule products and then 1 that's a blend. Mm-hmm. And we're doing that because that's how we use mushrooms in our own life. So I like to take a supplement in the morning, but I also, when I make a shake, if I have a smoothie, I want to put some extract in there. So hence the reason we're launching 2 different types of products in 4 SKUs. The 2 new SKUs will come in the spring, and they are just a different blend, because it turns out that there's a mushroom for everyone, and we want to make a blend that works for different people. Mm-hmm. And then of course, when we get our research and development license, we will start to try to create some microdose products, because the research behind what's happening in that world is you know, near and dear to our hearts as well. Beyond that, there's not a night that my husband and I don't go to sleep where we talk about what else we can make from mushrooms. So today, because he's in construction, he is over next door trying to figure out how he can grow an alternative to styrofoam for building. And these will be blocks of myceliated substrate that will be strong enough to construct things, housing, whatever it is he's going to construct out of. Through mycelium, and these will be something super earth friendly. Of course, you know, there's no end when you start thinking that way. So you know, the kids are talking about whether they can make clothing out of it. My daughter wants to build plant pots out of it. There's no doubt Aversio Wellness will be selling other things made from mushrooms down the road that will be no doubt interesting and innovative and coming from the minds of folks maybe a little younger than us.
Well, that's cool. It's actually, you know, you're preaching to the choir when you're talking about, you know, the value that mushrooms bring to our society, whether they're just regular medicinal mushrooms or whether it's psilocybin, and the potential that we have to use it as a tool to open up our minds and see life through a different lens, which is, I think, the value that it brings. You know, obviously people are talking about the, you know, the emergence sort of, what would you call it, psychedelic renaissance that's sort of occurring right now, which is so exciting to me, because I've definitely dabbled with psychedelics before, and I see the value in it. It's completely changed my life in a lot of ways. And the conversations that I have around it with people like yourself, just I just get more and more excited about it, because I can see the potential. But what really what I'm looking forward to is when we can have these conversations openly. Absolutely. Without the stigma attached to it. And I think that's not too far away. And obviously with laws and regulations changing in Canada and all of the great work that's being done with MAPS as well, I think that, you know, we're not too far away from huge changes happening in our society that really, really need to happen. Yeah. And sort of what would you call it? Well, what would Joe Dispenza call it? He would call it a collective awakening, wouldn't he?
A collective awakening.
A collecting awakening. Yeah, it's going to happen. And I'm just so excited for you.
I feel like it's happening, Hayden, listening to
you
talk there. It makes me so happy to hear. It makes me so happy. Of course, I can see you. It makes me so happy to see you, you know, living that. And that, you know, the experience that you've had is not different from anyone else I've talked to with the same experience. And it's so interesting that today's the day of the podcast. And today's the day that I can actually say I can talk about it, because when you're a public school educator, fortunately there has been a stigma attached to, you know, any type of plant medicine in our culture, in our society, where I haven't really felt super comfortable about having those conversations openly.
Yeah.
You know, I'm blessed to have been raised by parents who are extremely open-minded and, you know, really raised me to think for myself and go out there and do whatever I wanted to do, and to, you know, appreciate wellness, appreciate nutrition, appreciate what Mother Nature offers to you, and to have a respect for that. But in the classroom, I sometimes had to bite my tongue.
Yeah, of course.
Even as till yesterday, when I was officially not part of my school district anymore, did I feel like I could actually say, I'm behind this? You know, I'm one of those people that would say decriminalization of plant medicines when they are used properly, when they are used as, in our case, we're looking at, you know, a psilocybin-assisted psychotherapy with a therapist that is doing this for, like you said, for the awakening of consciousness on a planet that needs it so badly and is so ready for it. Mm-hmm. And then to be speaking to someone who you're living that evolution.
Yeah. And it's awesome because once you have that experience, you cannot live life the same again, you know, and it's really hard to describe that to somebody who hasn't had a psychedelic experience. You know, a lot of people go, oh, you're such a druggie. And I'm like, you've actually got no idea what you're talking about right now. And I would love for you to have that experience. And I like, whether I'm talking to a friend or whether I'm talking to, it could be anybody that hasn't had it. And it's not as if I hold myself in such high regard because I've had this experience. I genuinely want this experience for everybody. Like it brings people together. And it's kind of like, the way I sort of describe a psychedelic experience is you're sort of, one minute you're living your life and everything's great and it's all you know, and then you are offered an opportunity to see life through a completely new lens and from a different perspective that you didn't even know was available. Absolutely. And it's here all of the time for us to access. And I'm really excited by that. And I think that it is only going to bring in positive change into our society and into our culture. I'm really excited for the future for my children, especially if it becomes normalized. Absolutely. And you know, whether we're talking about cannabis or whether we're talking about psychedelic mushrooms or LSD, psycho-assisted therapy, I mean, there are so many tools, and that at the end of the day is what they are. They're tools. And just like any tool, you can use it responsibly or you can abuse it. Just like alcohol, just like food, you know, it can be abused. And I think that with the right intention and the right setting, and if done with purpose, there is nothing but positive value. And even what people are scared of, what I find when I'm talking to people about a psychedelic trip, and I'm sure you've probably had the same conversations as well, are people that are really afraid of having a bad trip.
Absolutely, because I think that is the story that was told in for my parents' generation. I know, you know, we're looking at the, you know, the Timothy Leary of the Woodstock, everybody free love. We're looking at that because it's our only frame of reference.
Correct.
Then it kind of went away and it wasn't something I was really ever exposed to and didn't really talk about. And I was one of those, you know, there was a time in my life where I was the judger. Mm. I was that all drugs are bad. Mm. And it was really fear-based for me. It was the fear of this bad trip that I had heard my mom talk about, you know, she had seen. She was in the hippie era. Yeah. You know, in the 1970s, that was something you could look out your front door and see someone having a bad trip. Mm-hmm. Well, these were not people using the substance, consuming the substance with an intention.
Correct.
With integration after the fact. Mm. Or at for sure, these were not regulated. Mm. These were not, you know, standardized. These were not created in a GMP certified facility that Health Canada was following. And that's what we need. That's what we don't have. Mm. You know, in our country, in Canada, there are no rules around how to do this or who can do this. Just don't do it. Mm. When you don't do it, science and technology have a hard time keeping up with each other. So, you know, us applying for a license to be able to do research and development with the products is really not, people are raising millions and millions of dollars out there to do the same. For us, you know, we kind of question, why do you need millions of dollars? Growing a mushroom is simple. In our homeschool classroom, my daughter and I were able to grow oyster mushrooms in a matter of 2 weeks that we ate and were delicious. It's not rocket science. Growing of a mushroom is something that the planet wants us to do. It's something that happens in nature. As a family, we go mushroom foraging. You know, it was every single weekend until it got a little colder. And now it's like when we walk the dog, we can't stop seeing what we see. But it's not something that we can't do. It's how do we do it well? And with my husband's history and background in project management and construction, he has had the good fortune to build a number of medical cannabis facilities.
Oh, wow.
And watching them go through the process because he had to deal with Health Canada there, we really see it as this great opportunity to provide the same standards. And if we can produce something that is, you know, completely standardized, completely regulated, then we know it's safe. And like you said, you're excited for your kids. I think when this becomes part of the curriculum, when this becomes part of something that's a conversation, you know, it's not something you're going to use when you're a child, but it's an opportunity for you, a tool to use beyond the only things available for mental health, the only things available for a connection to consciousness out there, which are synthetic medications that are masking the surface symptoms of the issue instead of dealing with the root cause. And, you know, to know that our kids are going to grow up and might have mental health issues, but we'll have something different than an SSRI handed across the counter. The pharmacist on our team says, all I do all day is pump out SSRI.
Band-aids,
And I've been giving it to the same people for 30 years and they have the same thing, and that people should take that because there isn't an option. But let's give them an option. So if we can make our next cues come out something that is able to be used, whether as a microdose or a peak experience dose, that would make us pretty darn happy.
Bring it on. I'll be your first customer in that space.
And to know it's safe. You know, we have a 14-year-old son. He knows you could go and buy it online if you want. But I don't want to put something in my body where nobody's checking where that came from, what it touched, how it was packaged. It's that's a risky business to me. And I don't know if I want to be part of that. So, you know, unless I know where it came from, like we said, with our products, just with the functional mushrooms, we have tested these things so well to know what is in there. I can't imagine going on the internet and ordering something, having no idea where it came from, because there is no regulation.
Yeah, so for sure.
We're coming. It's so funny. I just saw something on someone sent me an email yesterday and it said, you know, 2008, I'm on shrooms, arrested. 2020, I'm on shrooms, what brand? And, you know, here we are living this cool evolution.
I know. You know, my dream, I would love for my parents to have the experience of a mushroom trip. I would love my grandparents even more in their 80s to have a mushroom trip, and sort of, especially like my grandfather, he's just turned, you know, 90. It's a huge deal. His health is declining dramatically and there would be nothing but a benefit from it. You know, it would completely just, you know, and especially somebody in their 90s as well. Like, you think about the amount of change that they've seen within their lifetime. You know, they've gone from a horse and cart all the way through to space travel and beyond. And then, you know, and he's lived through the 60s and he's lived through so much, you know, more so in his generation than any other generation before him. He's seen more change. And I believe that we're probably going to see more change in our lifetime than he was even privy to over his lifetime. But can you imagine, you know, being born in the 20s or, you know, in the early 30s, and then obviously here we are 2020, and then being offered, you know, a mushroom and being able to enjoy the experience at the end of your life and go, holy shit, like, this was here all along.
All the time.
Imagine if you were living your life in black and white TV your whole life, and then all of a sudden somebody gave you a pair of glasses that gave you color vision.
Right.
And you're like, I feel cheated. You know, absolutely. I feel cheated.
Well, either I feel cheated or, okay, because... Yeah. So Gigi is great grandma to us. She's 92 and I mean, it sounds like a very similar experience to your grandfather. And we feel this the exact same way that, you know, my husband, of course, with COVID, we can't get in to see her, but he speaks to her through FaceTime and he's dying to get in there and say, look, Gigi, you've got this long left. I want you to have this. I want you to have this gift. And part of it is that, you know, for me, so I'm yet to experience what you're talking about, other than the altered state of consciousness that I think I've been lucky enough to be able to experience through meditation and breath work,
which is very, very similar.
Until I had that vocabulary, which is only 2 years ago, really, that I can say, oh my gosh, I get it. There it is. There it is. And when you feel that connection, when you feel that access to something that is so powerful, like you said before, you want to share it with everyone, but especially those people in the golden years, that end part of their life, when, you know, they're ready to pass on to whatever it is, whatever they believe, wherever they think they're headed, for to give them the peace of mind, to give them the comfort, to give them that ability to totally surrender and feel at peace with what's coming, to take away any fear of pain, any fear of dying, any fear of, you know, what they have been through in their life, what they've seen, what they're leaving behind. To me, there would be no better gift.
Honestly, no better gift. And I wish that gift upon everybody. And that's the gift that I really can't wait for our for everybody to receive when the time is right.
No wellness is going to deliver.
I know. Well, that's my good promise. And that's why I loved your mission, and that's why I love what you're doing, and that's why I really wanted to have the conversation with you today, because there are a few things that I think that, you know, the listener will take out of these the conversation that we've just had, and whether it's somebody that's starting a business or they've got an existing business and, you know, they're pivoting into new spaces. I think they've definitely been able to take a lot out of the conversation today. So thank you very much for that. But just for everybody in general that's listening, and, you know, whether you're sitting on the fence about your opinion on psychedelics, or you're all in on it, or you're completely against it, I'm not judging you. I really don't have a horse in the race at all. I just know what I know, and I know what I've experienced. And I love having conversations with people that are like-minded, that see the value in it, and know the amount of change that it's going to bring to this world when it emerges as the, the solution to, I'm going to say the word fix. I don't know if the word fix is right, whether it's a course correction. I think we've just gone off course and it's just going to bump us in. But the other thing that I find fascinating about mushrooms is, they've been here forever. Like, they've evolved.
And they will be here forever.
And they will be here for much longer. Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, they're a source of energy that we really don't even understand the power of.
Absolutely.
And the way that our bodies interact with it. So it's really cool. I would love to, talk further with you. But I know that you're really, really busy, and that you've got an afternoon, and you've got kids that you need to probably get back home to and homeschool a little bit longer. So thank you very much for your time today. And just for all of the listeners out there, what's the best way for them to learn more about Aversio and be involved in the launch and potentially get some products soon?
Yeah. So the website will launch. So it's just Aversio Wellness, and it's Eversio Wellness. .com, and that's January 1st. Before that, on social media, it's just at Aversio Wellness. But an email too, we are hello@AversioWellness, and it's you know, us here sitting here, the team answering that, and we're really happy to continue the conversation. We like talking to people, and with the pandemic, we haven't had a lot of that, so we're very happy to continue a conversation. You know, I really think that our website is going to be that vehicle for education for us too. So when that launches, it's not just an e-commerce website where we're bringing people to buy things. And I agree with what you said earlier, Hayden. There's no judging. There's going to be people that disagree, and I'm very happy for them to disagree, because I was that person.
Yeah.
There's going to be people that are on the fence about it. You know, there are going to be people that are all in, and we really welcome all of that. But the website is really a platform for education, and we've got lots of it on there. And if you're someone who likes to click the links, then there'll be lots of interesting things there. And that's kind of my place to get to continue to be an educator outside the public framework.
That's great. Well, congratulations on everything that you've achieved to date, and good luck for the launch. And I'm really excited to watch you grow and watch your business grow as well. It's going to be great to watch.
Great. Thank you so much. I'm very
welcome.
Grateful for the congrats.
No worries. All right. Take care. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Be well.
You too. Thanks for listening today. If you have any questions from today's episode or would like to know more about what I can do to help you achieve your packaging vision, you can reach me directly at hayden@thepackheavypodcast.com. You could DM me on Instagram @thepackheavypodcast, or we could also connect on LinkedIn and start a conversation there. I'll see you next week.